Hello and welcome to In The Game, Qatar's first sports podcast. Today is a special day for many reasons, but we've got another special guest. But before I go into that, I just want to shout out to Incubate. Incubate is one of the independent incubators here in Qatar, and they have been so kind to be able to partner up with it in the game sports podcast here. So thank you so much, Incubate. Thank you so much indeed. I can't wait to start promoting you as much as possible on our podcast. But let's go from there. We've got our wonderful guest on today, and she is wonderful. It's an amazing story. So Mariama, please, can you just introduce yourself to us and tell us where you come from and what you do here in Qatar?
Okay, all right. Thank you for having me here. My name is Mariama Bukhari, and I'm from Ghana. Currently, I'm studying sports management in HBKU here in Qatar.
And it's such a new program here, right? It's only just been started here.
Yes.
And it's with South Carolina or something like that?
Yes, yes. Yeah. They are in collaboration with South Carolina. Yeah, so some of our courses are done from South Carolina.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I got to ask you, how do you like Qatar?
I love it. I love Qatar. Actually, this is my first time of traveling outside Ghana, and I think I love it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to go any other way. I love it here.
Yeah. And the good thing about this is let me tell everybody the story first. So we had a guest, Dr. Camilla. She's the professor for this master's degree in HKBU. Brilliant. It's just fantastic what they're doing. And she looked up to me and she said, please, you've just got to ask Mariama to come on the podcast. So we're all finding out why now. So no pressure on you at all. But can you tell us your a bit of your life story? Why sports?
Okay. So I would say sports has been part of me, and not just me, it has been part of my family, actually. Growing up, I've been playing football from childhood. And it's not just me, it's all of us, all the children. We are six in numbers. Apart from my younger sister, all of us have been playing football in our whole life, until myself and my sister, we stopped at some point. But the rest of them, the younger ones, they are still playing, and some playing professional level.
And what was it like? What was it like to play?
I loved it. It's actually my passion, and I love playing football. At some point, apart from playing in the primary school, I was playing with like boys around the area, the neighborhood, where I say boys because you won't get a girl to play football with you. No, it won't happen. I think I was lucky because my dad was actually supportive. He was supporting me in football. He won't make the decision for me, but then whatever I want to do, he'll support it. So he was supporting me in football. He won't stop you from playing football. So from childhood, I could play around with boys. I could play in school, everywhere. So football was just part of me from childhood until I stopped at some point.
So you were saying about your childhood and the football.
Okay. Yes. So I have played football from childhood. Not just me. All my siblings we've played, apart from my younger sister. And even for her, I'm sure if you ask her, she can. If you give her a football, she can kick it. But the rest of us, we have played football in our lives, and some of them playing professionally. Myself, my sister, and then the rest of my younger brothers, we all play football from childhood. So it's been part of us. It's a football family, let me put it that way.
So you've got a football family. It's like, when did you get to play? Was it just at school time?
Yes, I started from school. I think I would say one of my teachers helped us to identify our talents, because at that time we had two schools on the same compound, but they were two different separate schools. So we were in one school, and then I've been playing with boys, and then my sister as well. My sister is a goalkeeper. So we've been playing with the boys around there. So I think he identified, he realized we had the talent. So he brought us from one school to the other to come and play for the school, I mean a whole school. So it started from there. That is when I identified my talent. We were actually playing for the school. And then after I started training with a whole team, but it didn't take long, and then I stopped at some point.
Yeah, and you were telling me just before the show, you were telling me how you used to help your dad's with your dad's farm. And
yes. Okay, so what's happened is because football has been part of us, we were seeing it as normal when you compare to other people in the neighborhood, because no one will just allow, even when it comes to the meals, you won't see them going into football and all that. But with my dad, he was okay. So the whole family, we were staying with some of our cousins, like even including females and males. My dad had a farm close to the to our house. So it was during harvest time. Like usually when it's harvest time and we are going, we take a football from the house, and then just with the family, about six or five of us, we play. There is a pitch close to the farm. We'll play it for some time, maybe for 30 minutes or 1 hour before we continue. And then we go and have it. So it was just like a normal thing for us.
And now your brothers are, you've got brothers that are professional footballers.
Yes.
That's fantastic,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That your father and your mother must be so proud.
Yes, they are. And they're always supportive. They are not against it at all.
So how did this affect your stories? Why are you're in Qatar right now?
Okay, so what happened was, if I knew there was a course like this, I would have taken it long ago, but I didn't know anything of this. So I don't want to talk about my education, because my education was actually very rough. So let's say I moved after my, that should be somewhere 2015, thereabouts. What happened was my brother, my younger brother, he had the opportunity to go and play for the national team. But then something happened, and that is where I had the idea of going into sports fully. This is what happened. So he had the opportunity to play in the national team. He showed me that. I went online. I saw the list. His name was there, everything. And then I decided to follow up for him because he was very young and he didn't know what to do and all that. So I decided to follow up. Until now, I don't know what happened. And I just don't know what happened. It didn't work. He didn't get the chance to go and play. And I don't know why. Then I decided, okay, what I'll do is let me manage him personally and try and negotiate on his behalf, because some of these young guys are very vulnerable when it comes to soccer, because they love the... they have the talent, and then they love what they do. So people take advantage to the extent of some people duping. I know a woman that was duped of about 5,000, 7,000. Okay, that should be, I can't convert it in dollars, but
no.
In our currency. She was duped because someone came around to give an opportunity to her child to go and play in Europe. Until now, the guy took the money and then he ran away. And that's not just the first time. It's been happening. The boys have been coming. They complain, this person has taken my money and he didn't come back and all. So I said, okay, I'll take this on myself. I'll take care of this boy. And then I'll do all I could to help him. And through that, I was able to manage few boys and then ended up having my own academy, small academy. Yeah.
I find that little part, a little part, is the start of your journey. It's like you just thought to yourself, no, I don't want this to happen to other people. Yeah. I want to put this right.
Exactly.
Dear me, that's so fantastic. And what happened from there?
So what happened was, whilst I was managing my brother, other boys, few. So there was a club, there was a football club where I know the owner. He's a retired footballer who has that team. So I usually go there, watch them, and then once in a while I support them with water and all that. So these boys, sometimes they'll just come to me, and they have grown-ups, you know. They'll come to me, make fun with me, that kind of, like, they'll laugh with me, and then they'll start calling me manager. So I'm like, why are you calling me manager? I said, I want you to manage us, that kind of thing. So I think one guy approached me, And then I said, okay, fine, I'll do what I could to support. So what, whenever I have, I do support him. And then I ended up getting him a team. Apart from my brother, I managed that boy, like partial management. And then I got him a team where he played for about 3 years or so, which is a first division team. Then I realized, okay, I think I can do this. Why don't I continue? And then I continued from there. So now I even have one guy who plays for one of the best first division teams in Ghana currently. Yeah.
Whoa. DMB. So why are you in Qatar? You're going to be the next big. Well, you're already doing amazing things. You're going to be the next biggest agent.
Okay. So Qatar journey, I would say it's a luck. It's a luck because I didn't have any idea about HBKU. And after my degree, I decided not to continue with my education because I want to just work and then get something and take care of myself and then move forward. So, but then at some point, there is a friend who spoke to us about HBKU, that there is this school that he's been applying and he's not getting, but then he thinks we can just give it a try, myself and my best friend, we can just give it a try. And then I said, well, I don't know how I even applied, but I think I did. That's what I remember because it wasn't actually part of my plan. And then one day I was there and I received a mail that I got admission. I spoke to him and said, this is what I have received. I've gotten an admission. He was like, hey, it's a good school. Go for it. Why don't you go? Okay, so let me come back a little.
Yeah.
Before that, I said I didn't want to do my master's. I didn't want to continue. So what I did was when he gave me the link, I told him, well, let me just try. If it's something sports, then I'll do. Because I've realized I did accounting, I've worked with financial institutions and all that, but it wasn't something I was really enjoying. I realized anytime I go to the field and I watch those boys playing, I enjoy it. So let me just go there. And if there is something sports, then I will do it. Because yeah. In Ghana, you can get anything. The only thing sports they do is maybe you see a journalist who is actually talking about sports and all that, but there wasn't any course like a sports course. Uh-huh. So I said, okay, let me just go into the link, and then if there is anything sports, I'll just take it. I went there and I saw sportsman. I said, wow, then this is just for me. Let me just apply. I just applied, which I knew I wasn't getting because the guy told me he's been applying and he's not getting it. So I said, okay, let me just apply. I applied, and then after some months, I got admission. And even that one, I wasn't too sure of it because you know, there are a lot of scams around and all that. There was a day I was there, and then I received, a message from Dr. Kabila that, hello, so and so, you gotten an admission. Please follow up and go through the process and all that. And then I went through, and then that was it. I got it.
She's an amazing lady, right?
She is. I mean, I didn't have a mentor, but since I came to HBKU, I think Dr. Kabila is she really inspires me.
It was a message that I got from Dr. Kabila where she said, please interview this lady. She's just amazing. We talked just beforehand. Tell us a little bit about what impression you left on her with what you wrote.
Sorry?
You wrote that writing because it touched her in quite many ways. She was telling everybody about and sending this letter to everybody. Can you just share a little bit of your experiences with what you wrote her?
Okay, so actually, when writing that letter, I was just trying to be natural. I was just trying to be me. So I put in everything that I have gone through, my experiences and everything. It was just being natural.
And sometimes that's all you have to be, right? That's all you've got to be is natural. You've just got to be yourself. But the effect you had on others was just incredible because she's gone off and shared that with multiple different people, and they all think the same as her, that it was you've got a wonderful story. So you've got back in Ghana now, you've got people that's relying on you. You're their manager looking after them. How are they keeping in contact with you?
Yes, I still get in touch with them. So now I'm managing just one, and we get in touch almost every day. And I'll talk about my academy as well. Those are kids. So what happened was I had a volunteer coach who actually came to me personally. I don't know if you would want to know the journey of that academy.
Yeah, come on, tell us.
Okay, so what happened was I moved from my old place to a new place to rent a place for myself. So living there in that area is just, it's a quiet area compared to my old area. So one day I said, okay, there is nowhere, you won't get a coffee shop, a restaurant, you just go and then refresh your mind. Let me just take a stroll. On my way going, I saw some guys playing football. So I decided to just watch them because, you know, I'm that type. Anything football, I don't care whether I know the team or I don't know, I'll just watch it, that's all. So I just sat there and then I was watching them. They were just workers who usually come together and then they will play and then go. It's not a professional football. So I just sat there and watched. I realized people were actually looking at me because, I mean, a female, you won't see any female. I was the only one sitting there. I watched them and it was nice. So the next time I went, like the next day I walked and then I went to watch them again. So that was my, my fun area. So I've been going there to watch. So the next, I think the third day or so, I was watching them and then I saw some kids behind them play, about 8 or 10 of them playing football, let me put it that way. So I said, why don't I go and watch the kids instead of these grown-ups? Because, I mean, that would be fun. I went there and I was watching them. So when they saw me, I think they were a bit uncomfortable, so they stopped. And then I asked them, why do you stop? Why don't you play? We are having fun. I'm watching you. Go ahead. And then they now become comfortable. So they started playing. Then I realized it wasn't football they were playing. It was an old orange. So I was so surprised. I'm like, I asked them, why are you playing an orange? And they said, madam, that's how they call me anyway. Madam, we don't have football and all that. And I said, okay. Let's do this. The next day, if I bring football, will you people play with me? And then they said, yes, why not? We will play with you. They were so happy and it was so fun. I quite remember, this is a bit funny. My friend, my best friend called me at that moment and I told her, please, I'm having a meeting. I'll call you back. I was just talking to the kids.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know, but I think I was so happy like having that chat with them and then deciding to play football together and all that. So we agreed that the next day I'll bring a football. The next day I fulfilled my promise. I brought the football and then we played. It was fun. But then most of them were wearing jeans, slippers. Some of them were not wearing anything at all. So we just had fun. We did. And then after I told them the next day, okay, so we will continue this every day. We will do it. And they were so happy. So the next day when they came, they were more than 10. They were about 20. And then we played. Another time, more will come. So it kept increasing. And then I decided, okay. So I asked them, now that we are so many, do you people think we should have an academy or a team? They were so happy. They were jumping to it and all that. Okay, fine. Then we will do this. Go and think about the name. And then we start. They said, okay. So then the following day, we just started like that. So I'll just, every day I go there, we agreed on the time. And what I do is I always discuss with them. I don't make the decision. And they are our kids. I discuss with them. We agreed and then we go by it. So we discuss the time and then we agreed. Every day we meet and then we train. And then one guy approached me and then he said he will help me with the coaching. And then we took it from there. And then we came out with the name of the academy as well.
What's the name?
Black Strikers.
Oh, go on.
And yeah.
And how many kids have you got playing in it right now?
Now I have 30 kids.
30 kids?
Yes, they were more than that. But according to their coach, we should try and then reduce that. I think the pressure is too much for him.
Yeah. 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 That's just amazing. And what are you, and going on, and I'm jumping, but going on to your story now, what are you trying to achieve right now with your academy, with this master's now?
Okay, so what I realized in Africa, especially in Ghana, is that number one, most of the talents are on the streets, but these days you don't get them to play. They don't get the opportunity to play. So what I want to do is I want to use my my career or this platform to help these kids like able to come out with their talents. And then aside that, parents also are a problem in Ghana. They don't support their kids when it comes to sports. Most of them think sports is just for dropouts. If you are playing sports, education is out. If you are educating yourself, then sport is out. And then most of them are in support of education. But then I think you can combine these two and then you will excel. You come out nicely.
Work for you, right?
Yes, works for me. Yeah. And yes. And you see, I always thank Qatar Foundation for giving me this opportunity. If not, it wouldn't have worked for me.
But you're going to be an ambassador. I know that there's African nationalities that are here in yes. QF, but this is going to be because you. I know that we talked just beforehand, and you were telling me you were going to come. You were. It was only your best friend that encouraged you to come because you'd never travelled outside of Ghana or Africa.
Yes, that's very true. When this offer came, I was thinking because I had just started, I was doing something on my own, and then I had started a small business with a friend who we have started to some point. So it was a bit confusing whether I should take this or I shouldn't. And also, I have not traveled anywhere before. I've been within Ghana, especially within my area. I've not gone out, not even Togo, like outside, maybe in Africa or something. No, I've not gone anywhere. So when I got this up, I was thinking, I was like, wow, I'm not sure I'll go. And my best friend was like, you have to go. You really have to go. This is an opportunity. And you just have to grab it. This is what you want to do. Just grab it and then do it.
There's going to be loads of people counting on you, right?
Yeah.
You're going to be a mother figure. You're going to be an academy.
Yeah, all of that.
Your work is cut out.
Yeah.
But what, and I'm trying to get you to say, what effect is that going to have on Ghana, on those kids? It's going to be transforming. You're going to go back with a master's degree, and then you're going to put all that back into those kids and help those come along. You're going to be their agents. You're going to have about 10 different hats to wear.
Yes, I believe myself. I know I can handle multiple things at the same time, and I have plan ahead whilst taking care of these kids. I know I can do other things, which I'm already doing because I manage some guys. I take care of this case. And even before I got the coach, I was doing all this by myself. I go there, train with them, come back, handle other things. I was working as well. So I could handle all of that. And I think I can.
So right now, you're having a bit of a break here in Qatar. You haven't got all those things to do. You're studying on your education. How is that going? What types of things do you learn on this master's?
Okay, so so far I've spent 1 year here, and then we've done venue management, we've done finance, we've done marketing. So it's kind of come across everything. So it's a touch of everything in sports. Yeah.
And what's exciting you most about the course?
Sorry?
What's exciting you most about the master?
The fact that we are working on sports is just amazing for me. Yes, I have passion for sports, and I didn't even know, okay, so even in sports we could, for instance, like what Dr. Camilla is doing, I didn't know you could study sports and get to that level. I never knew until I got here. Then I realized, oh, wow. So it means we can do so many things in sports, not just playing on the field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But those experiences that you're gaining now, and especially with the World Cup coming up, and I bet you're going to be working on some of this stuff. I'm sure that your course is going to be working on some of these events. It's going to be invaluable to go back to Ghana and share this with others.
Sorry?
You're going to be able to go back in and give this education that you've learned to others back there.
So it depends. I wish I could give back to Qatar as a whole for giving me this, opportunity. So it depends on what happens after school. If I get the opportunity to do something here, I would want to do that. But then at the same time, I'll make sure I impact whatever I have on those in Ghana.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are lots of things I ahead that I'm planning.
So let's talk about Qatar a little. So you've been here a year. What are the highlights you've had here so far?
What are the
highlights? What are the things that you've enjoyed doing the best here?
In Qatar?
Yeah.
I think it will be like in the sports area. I don't know if it's because...
Anything in Qatar that you've enjoyed doing?
Anything in terms of activities?
Activities, you enjoy going to the souk. What's your favorite place?
Oh my God, there are a lot of favorites.
Exactly.
Yes, there are a lot of them. I can't name them. I've been to, and I enjoy this. I went to the MotoGP.
Yes,
it was so good. I really enjoyed that. And there is souk, like you said. I've been to Mall of Qatar. That's even during the Euro 2020, that's the best time I've had here. I watched it in Mall of Qatar, and I enjoyed it.
I don't like talking about the European Championships because I think it was very unfair, especially from the England point of view. We should have won the competition.
No, I disagree.
No.
Do you actually know I supported Italy because of England?
Yeah, exactly. There were so many people that just didn't support England because of they were England.
No, that's not my reason. I didn't have any team to support. In the beginning.
Oh, thanks very much. I liked you before this. Yeah, go on, carry on. Tell us why you liked Italy.
Okay, so I supported Italy because of England and Denmark. I felt that penalty was just unfair to Denmark. I was really enjoying the game from the beginning to the end. And, there was one penalty before that one.
What did we win in Denmark in that penalty? We won 3-1, right? Did we win 3-1?
Was it 3-1? I think so.
Yeah, we didn't need the penalty, did we?
No. It wasn't 3-1. No. I don't know. I forgot it, but it wasn't 3-1.
Okay.
Yes.
So it was a penalty. Okay.
Yeah, it's just a penalty.
I was distraught that England didn't win against Italy. But still.
I'm so sorry.
But I must say, the thing with it is, and the one thing I would say with the England team, and I've got to say this, I'm 54 years old, and it was the best England performance that I've seen in my lifetime.
Okay.
It was, for the country, it must have been transforming because we were all excited because of the how far they went and what he's doing with Gareth Southgate is doing with the England team. And that's what I like about the teamwork, right?
Yeah, I think they have a good team. I liked it when they were playing until that Denmark match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that I can't remember who went. Was it Sterling?
Yeah, Sterling. Yeah. And it looks like that's what he does.
Look, I really like Sterling, just he's for good. Anybody's listening, okay, from Ghana. I'm a Sterling fan. I think he does a fantastic job.
I think he's
and good. It was definitely a penalty.
No, it wasn't.
So you've enjoyed Qatar. What's your ambitions for the future? What are you going to try and do with everything that you're doing? Amazing things, and you're an absolute ideal guest to come on the show. And with your experiences and what you've done already, and just going to watch kids play football, and then all of a sudden putting an academy together, you're touching people's lives in many, many ways. What's your ambition? Once you've done this, you're going to go back to Ghana and you're going to make so many differences. What's your ambitions?
Okay, so I have three things in mind which I would want to achieve at the end of... if I achieve this, I know I have gotten there. One is the academy. I want to have the best academy in Ghana. And this academy is not just going to be based on football. I think everything in life, when you start from childhood, you do very well in it. So with these kids, I would want us to train them from childhood and be able to identify their talents. Some may not be too, I mean, there are people who don't play, but they are very good in soccer. There are people like that.
Yep.
Yes, so we should be able to identify some of these talents and then we groom them so that they will come out best in sports, even if not playing on field. And then I would want to be one of the best managers also. I want to set up my management agency in like including intermediary, and I want to be one of the best, not just female agents or intermediary in Ghana, but one of the best in. And then the third one is I'm looking at the street children in Ghana. When you come, there are a lot of street kids there who I think they really need help, but they are not getting. So I want to use through the sports to help these kids from the streets. I think being on the street there is really not helping. Most of them have the talent, but then sometimes even in the evening you see kids on the street selling and all that. You realize, I mean, after this thing, how is this person to come out with whatever he or she is having in him or her? So these are my targets, these three things.
So I'm going to go back. Are you going to be a tough manager to deal with? Tough?
Not
hard?
At all.
Not at all?
Not at all. But then, very focused. Yeah.
I like focused. Focused is good.
Yeah.
And what are we going to do with street soccer here in Qatar?
Come on,
make a commitment.
Okay, so
you've got all the equipment now. I'm offering it to you on a plate.
Okay.
How are we going to take street soccer forward in Qatar?
Okay, so that one, let me just see you in chambers and then we work together. But we're definitely going to do something.
We're definitely going to do something,
yes.
Right? And we're going to do something in Ghana too, right?
Yes, sure.
Yeah? That's for sure. And I believe you. You're the type of lady, you're going to make things happen.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. I am a problem solver. That's how I call myself.
You're a problem solver, but you're a life changer too.
Yes.
And yes, you are.
Yeah.
And you've got a wonderful personality, and I wish you all the success in the future. I've got to thank you so much for coming on the show today. I think you've got a shining light in you. Okay, and it's been from you, and I want people to see that it's from your upbringing, from the playing with your brothers and sisters. Your brothers have gone on to be professionals. You've just taken it further to help people and see people that are looking for help and assistance, and you're going and doing just that. I wish you every success in the future, and I hope I'm going to be part of that future with the stuff that we're going to do together.
Grateful. We're very grateful.
Yeah. Everybody, thanks for listening today. This has been a wonderful show. I'm so glad that we had this Marima. It was a wonderful thing for me. And I'm just so glad that there's people like you on this planet, because you know that everybody sometimes is a little bit negative with everything going on. But with shining lights like you, we've got a fantastic world going further. So thank you so much for being on the show today. It was a pleasure having you.
Thank you for having me as well.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening. Until next week, bye for now. Here at In The Game, we are so proud to be associated with Incubate. Incubate is a startup hub which offers businesses and entrepreneurs a complete set of services and tools to get their businesses up and running. You have to get in contact with them if you're a startup in Qatar. They're in Palm Tower on the 29th floor. Everyone, thanks for listening. But please make sure you give us a comment or like us on your favorite podcast app.